This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo! What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney Company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage on this Thursday, week 10. Around the NFL, double-digit weeks. Week 10 around the NFL tonight, obviously, pretty big one in terms of the AFC playoff picture. Chargers and the Raiders at the Coliseum. The last home game, the last night game, the last standalone game for the Raiders at that venue. Obviously, Chargers coming off a big win. Mm-hmm. They're 4-5. The Raiders right there as well, 4 up and 4 down. That'll be pretty interesting. And, you know, can you explain? I know the answer. We'll do this a little bit later, but can you explain why? Well, I know the answer. It's the ACC Network.
Yes.
Why in the world? Conference action, like, what is wrong with it?
You know,
what
you didn't,
happened with
I didn't,
the ACC
It's funny, because
last
I didn't,
night?
I wasn't even
I didn't
thinking
even
about,
process that until I was watching the games.
I didn't process it until Coach Boeheim went off on about
it. Yeah, he wasn't
it.
Happy. And we'll do that in inbounds, out of bounds. I don't want to give too much away.
No, but
what in the world was that?
First of all, I was just happy that Virginia's defense looks exactly like Virginia's defense, if not better than Virginia's defense have ever been.
They looked good.
34 points last night, which is ridiculous. And they shot 26% or whatever it was Syracuse did. But when Boeheim went off, I was like, you know what? He's right.
Mm-hmm.
Why the heck are you playing a conference game the first game of the season? Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's standalone. It's national television. It, like, makes you dive right into the national champion. It's a storied coach and Coach Boeheim on the other side. So it makes sense, but it doesn't, because you're not supposed to start your season like this.
No, I don't think it makes any sense. I mean, you can have
– it makes monetary sense, is what I meant
to say. I hear you. But you can still have Virginia play Arizona.
I know.
I mean, play
anybody.
Play a high-profile school. It was crazy because it really didn't click in. There's all these games going on. There was, you know, 80 or 90 the first night. And obviously, Tiki and I talked about the two big games at the Garden. By the way, Cole Anthony went bonkers. It was insane. College basketball's off to a pretty good start. And I'm bouncing around. I'm saying, wait, Boston College is playing Wake Forest. Why? They're both in the ACC. I'm like doubting myself because the conferences have changed so much. I'm like, no. They're in the same conference. It was very, very weird. And by the way, Duke gets a bone because Duke doesn't have to do that because they're Duke.
That's right.
Duke got to play in the Champions Classic at the Garden. So obviously college hoops is happening. Let me get into this here. So some of the young quarterbacks now, Sam Darnold, and, you know, I say this tongue-in-cheek because I didn't think, even though his play has been horrendous, the whole seeing ghost comments on Monday Night Football mic'd up. People took it far too literally. Darnold seeing ghosts. Mm-hmm. You have Baker Mayfield regressing. He's shaven 3 times on game day. He's turning into a complete mess. And now you have Mitch Trubisky basically begging to shut the TVs off in hallowed halls of Hallis Hall.
Yeah.
So that they don't hear the outside noise, the criticism,
you know what?
Of the team.
BT,
what?
I give him an A for effort. That's what I'm going to do. That's how I'm going to approach this. Is it going to work? Probably not. Kids these days, they get it on their phones, right? So what a TV's on? We're going to put Paw Patrol up there again? Or Blippi, like we were talking about the other day? Exactly. So, I mean, I give him an A for effort because he's trying to galvanize.
Yeah.
He's trying to be a leader. He's trying to be like, let's circle the wagons and let's all stay here. But the problem is the only way that works. I mean, the only way that works, if he starts playing better.
Yep.
If he, like, reverts into a baller and they start looking at him like, man, this guy's the truth. I can follow him. Because the reality of professional sports, especially a team sport like the NFL, BT, is if you suck, nobody wants to be around you. Mm. It just is what it is. You start to get ostracized, even if you are, like, in a position of importance. And that's Mitch Trubisky's problem right now. He's not playing well enough. He's not inspiring with his play. I don't think he's horrible. I just feel like he has no confidence in what he's supposed to do or what he can do. I feel like a year ago, it was like, man, this kid might actually turn out to be pretty good. I had doubts when he was first drafted because he didn't play that much in college.
Mm-hmm.
But then after they changed coaches and Nagy got there and he was short passing, it felt like the Kansas City system, chucking it down to the running backs and all these other, you know, things that made it easy for the QB. I said, he might actually turn into a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've seen a colossal step back, and there's no explanation for it because it's the same coaching staff.
Well, I think that is the explanation. Don't you think you have to put this on the coaching?
Maybe, but what happened between year two and year three?
I don't know. I'm sure the league made adjustments to Trubisky and the Bears offense. I would just imagine that Nagy hasn't made adjustments to the adjustments made on their offense.
Maybe, but here's the other thing, I know this because of personal reasons, because of fantasy football reasons. Tariq Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Tariq Cohen? Like with Jordan Howard,
mm-hmm.
It was like this perfect 1-2 punch of running backs.
Yeah.
Right? One was a bruiser and a pounder, and the other one was a change of pace guy. He was like Tyreek Hill, light. He's not Tyreek Hill because he doesn't have that kind of speed, but he was like Tyreek Hill. You mm-hmm. put him in so many different places, whether you line him up in the slot and you do reverses with him, or you just chunk, you know, bubble screens to him, or put him in a mismatch out wide and help make him catch passes. He's hardly utilized anymore. And so is that Mitch's fault or is that Nagy's fault? And I don't know. Because when you look at what he was successful with last year, that's what it was. It was just this diverse, you know, short-range offense that was easy to execute. It's almost like he's trying to make Mitch Trubisky be somebody he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see the failures of it.
I want to play this for you. You guys could come up with your own conclusions. And again, I hear you. I have a similar thought. It's got to work. Otherwise, you look weak. Almost like when Kirk Cousins was apologizing. Mm-hmm. If he didn't go on that 3-week binge where he was dropping touchdowns and kind of throwing himself onto the outer limits of the MVP mm-hmm. race, he would look weak.
That's right.
His teammates would feel it. Maybe Trubisky comes out and starts bowling, but here's what he said. Listen to this, guys.
Trying to get some of these TVs in the building turned off because you got too many people talking on TV about us and what they think about us, what we should do, what we are and what we're not. But they don't really know who we are or what we're capable of, people, or what we're going through, what we're thinking. It's just the outside viewers looking in. And so, tunnel vision, earmuffs, and just come to work every day and try to get better and get back to what we know we're capable of doing.
Now, it sounds like he's trying to convince himself of that as he says that. And maybe he is. You know, he's trying to be assertive. I hear it. I applaud that. I do. As I said, I give him an A for effort.
Mm-hmm.
But until you ball, nothing matters. Period. Nothing matters unless you're a baller in sports, right? You can say all the right things, but if you're not doing the right things, it doesn't matter. And that's where they find themselves right now. So they have to turn a corner. He's trying, and I give him a lot of credit for that, BT. But I also think you're being a little sensitive to a medium, meaning media, us, and everything else that's around the game that's been around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
If you play badly, you get bad press. If you play well, you get good press. It's not complicated.
You don't think McMahon had a deal with, you know, back then when papers had more juice? I mean, Jim McMahon.
That's right.
You know, trying to just get the offense to make sure that defense.
That's right.
Didn't go for naught. I mean, the great 85 Bears defense, or, you know, Doug Flutie played mm-hmm. some games for Mike Ditka back then. I mean, the criticism in Chicago comes generally with some potency, some ferocity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking about this, and I don't know that I've really thought about this until right now, as you were just saying what you were saying, and it just kind of hit me. Is there a big market team, is there, especially with football, that we care less about than the Bears from a national perspective? Like, the Bears just don't move the needle, and they haven't for a long time.
Well, think about who was the
last. We talk more about Stafford. Think about the conversations. They haven't won a damn thing.
But who was the last superstar of the Bears? Offensive superstar.
I was going to say Urlacher.
Yeah, because there's been defensive ones.
And still, the NFL, even Khalil Mack, Chicago. Top five market.
I know, but think about the last, like, offensive player that you had to watch for the Chicago Bears.
Was it Alshon Jeffrey? I mean, I don't know. I'm
probably not.
I don't know.
I mean, he was good. I wasn't tuning in to watch Alshon Jeffrey.
No, that's proving the point.
Honestly, it might be Devin Hester. It might be their special teamer.
Okay.
Was the last time you dialed in to watch the score producing side of the Chicago Bears. Defensively, they've always been good, but you can watch an entire Chicago Bears, you know, matchup, say even if it's a rivalry game against the Packers or the Lions, and Khalil Mack, he could show up 10 times or he could show up twice. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to watch for a defensive player. You'll appreciate the defensive guy. It's the offensive players. And that's I think that's why nationally they've become irrelevant in a sense, because who's the offensive superstar that's been there for last decade?
Mike said Matt Forte in my ear. Yeah, I mean, Matt Forte had some really good years for sure.
Yeah, he did.
He was pretty good. But think about this. Like, the imprint on the NFL, there are a lot of teams, and my team's one of them, that has a minuscule imprint on the NFL. If you remove Namath, the Jets are a zero. But yet the national media still
New York.
Okay, but
it's
Chicago.
Different. It's New
it's
York.
A top, that's my point.
Yeah, but
it's not like Green Bay. But imagine like a bad Green Bay team, a boring Green Bay. Well, it's Green Bay. Chicago.
Who was the guy we talked to? Lawrence Holmes. We talked to Lawrence Holmes 2 years ago. Remember, or 3 years ago maybe. And he said, where are the Bears?
Yeah,
people's
I remember
psyche.
Well.
Yeah. And he was like zero, basically.
Yeah,
They don't even care.
Yep.
And it was because they're bad and they were mismanaged and they had bad coaches and everything else. Baseball was obviously explosive because of the Cubs and the World Series title. And so there were circumstances that contributed to that. But even when the Yankees are winning World Series, or hell, the Mets and the Yankees were in the World Series.
A long time ago, but still.
But my point is, football wasn't irrelevant.
No.
Even when the teams weren't good.
No.
And so it might just be Chicago.
There's just not a lot of energy devoted to the Bears. Like, it's almost like, all right, we'll give them a couple of minutes because their quarterback said this, but
there's
at the
nobody,
end of the day, nobody really cares.
But who are you getting excited about? That's my question.
But I hear you.
National standpoint, there's got to be somebody you're going to get excited
about.
You're
talking about getting excited for a player. I'm saying that we don't even react with the vigor.
Yeah, because what else are you going to react to?
The incompetence. I mean, there's a lot of bad teams no offensive players get a prominent spot in the sporting landscape, and you bury them.
But I don't.
The Bears just blend in.
Yeah, but who else falls into this category?
Jets.
Yeah, but the Jets are. It's like they're the whipping boys. You know what I mean? It's like the role they play.
I mean, the Raiders get knocked around a lot over the years.
Yeah, but the Raiders
kind of as a punchline.
But they also haven't. They haven't been. I mean, they've been bad.
No, they've been bad.
I can't say incompetent, though. There was a couple of teams here and there. But that's just cyclical. I can't say that that's been the case with the Raiders.
We pounded the Browns for years.
Well, that's,
No. I don't mean this version of the Browns, because obviously.
Oh, they deserve it, too.
No, for sure. But they have star power, in theory. That's not being utilized.
No.
You got Beckham. You got Baker. You got stars. You had a lot of juice coming into the season. But even before Beckham was there and before Garrett was a superstar pass rusher, like, we spent a lot of time on their ineptness. Like, nobody seems to care about the Bears. It's mystifying to me.
Well, it's because they're not too bad and they're not too good. They're right in the middle.
That's what it is?
It's got to be, BT.
I don't know.
I mean, the record hasn't been great.
I'm looking at all the teams I have all the teams right now in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And even the bad teams, like, We go hard on the Redskins for a multitude of reasons, right? You know, we go hard on the Jets, and we go hard early on Miami. We banged them around.
Here it is, I think.
We ignore the Bears.
But here it is, because they fall into the apathy zone. So,
but why? I know they do, but why?
Because there's nobody to hate.
My question.
There's nobody to hate. So with the Redskins, you can hate Daniel Snyder, or you can hate the way that the Raiders have been so cheap over the years, and they get all the casts off, and... Yeah, it's a great, huge name, but he's 6 years past his prime. Wanted to hang on and collect a paycheck, right? There's always like a narrative, either hate, apathy, or love for a lot of these teams that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears aren't any of that. Like, you don't hate them.
No.
There's nobody to hate.
It's a long time.
There's not a lot of players to love.
For
defensively,
a charter team.
There are
a charter team.
I don't. It's a weird.
In one of the biggest cities in our country.
It's a good observation, BT, because you're right. You don't necessarily care.
No, I don't know. I don't know that you could. Their profile does not match their standing in league history, nor does it match the city in which they play.
Yeah, think about the Originals.
Yeah,
right. And they're one of them.
For sure.
And we've kind of glossed over it.
Yeah, it's mystifying to me. Nobody seems to care about the Bears. I don't get it. 855-212-4227. The question is, do you take what Trubisky said as a sign of weakness? I think Teak lays it out pretty well. It's a good effort. His intentions are in the right spot. Could it backfire? Got a big game tonight as well. We have inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour. Jason Lockenfora, hour number two, our usual Thursday setup. And we'll do it all coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and at 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So we'll get some of these calls on the Bears and Trubisky and you know, how you interpret his plea to unplug the cable in the hallowed halls of Hallis Hall. That was a bit redundant. You know what I mean?
Made sense, though.
You know what you can't ignore? The obvious regression of all these young quarterbacks. Darnold, big step back. Mm-hmm. Mayfield, huge step back. Rosen on ice. Nobody knows what this kid could do. Trubisky, big step back. I mean, those are just five. Josh Allen's been, you know, Josh Allen has been fine. He's been okay. And if the Bills' defense was average, I believe that Josh Allen would be criticized a lot more.
That's right.
The defense is covering up a lot.
He's propped up because they don't get blown out. And they actually are winning games because their defense is so good.
Yeah.
Whereas if you watch the Jets, they're getting blown out. If you watch the Bears, they're just uninspiring.
Browns are getting blown out.
The Browns, they're getting wiped, you know, the floor wiped.
They really
are
getting blown out.
I hear you. And you mentioned Josh Rosen. We said this at the beginning of the season, BT. It was going to be one of the most interesting worst teams in the history of NFL football because of their quarterback situation. Because Ryan Fitzpatrick actually playing okay football, which puts Josh.
Just beat me.
Which puts Josh Rosen in, like, purgatory. I don't even know what the word is for him. He's not purgatory. He's in no man's land. He's nowhere.
He's in football hell.
He's nowhere.
Because he can't get a snap on the worst team in, well, I mean, the worst team in the league. I mean, I feel badly for the young man. I think a lot of it is circumstantial. I mean, listen, they've all flashed. I mean, Baker was terrific a year ago.
That's right.
Set a rookie record, 27 touchdowns. Darnold was great 4 weeks ago against Dallas. I mean, he was terrific. A lot of it is, and even Trubisky, I agree with you. I liked him more than you did coming out of school. Mm-hmm. I've talked about that a lot.
And again, my dislike had nothing to do with him or his skill set. It was, you just haven't played a lot of football.
No.
And you're going to jump into the National Football League and have to be the man? It doesn't work.
I hear you. And there's something to be said. I don't know if I know I said this on Tops. I don't know if I said this here on the show, but generally, you know, in terms of the value, I think I said it both, but just to repeat it, I think to evaluate the young quarterbacks, it's not really going to apply to the Herberts and to the Tuas and the I think this crop, for the most part, will certainly circumvent this possibility. But he didn't take a lot of snaps in college. He had about 500.
That's right.
And generally, when you grade these kids out, anybody in that 1,500 collegiate snap neighborhood, generally you get more of a definitive read on because it's just more evidence and they're more prepared. And he didn't play a lot of North Carolina. You're
he
right.
He didn't win the starting job. And it was part political down there, but it is what it is. He didn't play a lot. Mm-hmm. And then he decided to come out early. He could have stayed for another year.
Could have.
He didn't.
He could have. Did get paid, though.
He did.
Got paid.
I don't mind. I'm not mad at him.
I hear you. Let's go to Rico. Rico's down in Virginia, 106.1 FM. Rico's first up on Tiki and Tierney today. What up, Rico? How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. Thank you for asking. How are y'all?
We are good. How are you, man?
Doing good, buddy.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. I wanted to piggyback off that the Trubisky comment that y'all were saying. I mean, to be honest, it shows weakness. Not really, but I think the fact that he's scared that everybody's talking about, hey, your job's about to be gone. I mean, I remember I was watching ESPN talking about they need to trade for Cam Newton. I mean, since Cam Newton's going to be gone, but I mean, he's probably done this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, let's look at Baker Mayfield. It's just like the fact that if Baker Mayfield would have done the same thing, it would have been blown even more out of proportion because, you know, he's a big outspoken quarterback. But it's just, I think it's because the Bears had a better expectations than the Browns. For me, how I feel.
No, I think you're right. Coming into the season, they definitely did.
I don't think they did. I think that the Browns far exceeded them in terms of public sentiment.
But not an actual one. Thank you for your call, Rico.
Thanks, buddy.
Look, the Browns' expectation was we have on paper the best team that anybody's ever seen. That's hyperbole, obviously. Yep. But you still had to believe they had to show it. The Bears, however, were coming off a season where they won the division, right? They won 10 games, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. Mitch Trubisky had looked really good, and you know, past the sophomore slump. Actually, the sophomore slump was his best season. You know he's ready to take that next step. He's got good skill position players. He's got a defense that was one of the best in football last year. And yes, they lost Vic Fangio, but they still had a lot of that core on the front seven of the defense. And so it just felt like, hey, the Bears could be their year. I mean, we thought that the NFC North was going to be the division to beat, right? They might get three teams into the postseason because we knew the Packers would eventually find their way.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously know the Minnesota Vikings have a great defense, and hopefully, you know, Kirk Cousins didn't mess it up. And then the Bears. So there's like three of the four teams you were like, dude, any of these teams could be in the playoffs.
I don't like the Bears. I don't like them at all. Matter of fact, I think it was right when I got back from Utah, that was one of the best bets. I said bet under win total. And I was just checking our folder here. I had them in third in the NFC North.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Browns as a wild card. You had the Bears winning the North, but you didn't have the Browns being a playoff team. So to my point, we were kind of split.
Yeah.
But the national perspective was...
I just didn't trust the Browns yet.
No, that's fair. I mean, but I never really felt that Bears hype at all. Mm. I just didn't.
Teams that can run the ball and play good defense generally are going to have success. The Bears, for whatever reason, they still play good defense. They're not running the ball very effectively, and Mitch Trubisky is afraid to throw the ball.
Well, let me. I don't know about that. I believe that their coaching staff is afraid to let him throw.
It's funny because Samter just asked me, have you watched enough film on Mitch Trubisky to be able to see what's wrong? I said, yeah, he's scared to throw the ball, but it's almost like he's being told not to throw the ball downfield. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, make the easy completion. But if you're a defensive coordinator, you know that that's what he's going to do. You're going to take away the easy completion.
Think about when they missed the 41-yard field goal a couple of weeks back. Right. Rather than try to get 3, 4, 5 more yards forward by trusting the second overall pick in the draft, you took a knee.
Or go try to score a touchdown.
Put all doubt.
Get rid of all doubt.
I don't know. So he's in a space now where that fan base, and I definitely remember saying this after that game, it is very rare in the NFL because there's not too many moments of isolation, unless you're a kicker, you know, and you're walking off the field and you doink one off the uprights or the crossbar, where you can feel the wrath, you know, in unison of 70,000 people that really have a problem with you.
Yeah.
And 70,000 Chicagoans in that stadium that day, that you can just, it sounds different.
True.
They don't believe in them. They don't trust them. They don't trust the coach. They don't believe in them. And now you get to what, year four? Where do you go? I mean, yeah, you start to hear Cam Newton to the Bears. Okay. I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
I don't think Cam's going back to Carolina. I said that this summer.
Now, here's the silver lining, because there's always got to be a silver lining. They've had 5 losses this year. The first one was week 1 against the Green Bay Packers. Now, they were anemic on offense. They only scored 3 points, but they only lost by a touchdown. Then they lose to they win 3 in a row.
Yep.
Then they lose.
Who they beat again, though? Give me the teams.
Denver.
Yep.
Washington.
Yep.
Obviously, gimmies. And then they beat Minnesota.
And they almost lost that Bears game.
Right.
The Redskins game, right?
Yep.
Didn't that? The Broncos game. That went down to like a last second. That was week 2?
Yep, week 2.
That was a wacky finish.
That was definitely. But on the road.
A crazy finish.
But on the road in Denver, against also a decent defense, you hung on, you found a way to win the football game.
Okay.
Give them credit. They're going to win tight games. They're not running away from anybody at all.
Yep.
Ever. It's not in their DNA. They lose to the Raiders in Oakland.
No, that was in London.
In London by a field goal.
Yep.
So, and again, that's even more of an example to chalk it up to it was London. You know, you never know how teams and players.
The Raiders were ready.
But you never know how teams are going to react to that trip.
To the logistics of the trip?
Yeah, you just never know.
But that game fits their pattern this season more than it does not, so I can't give them an excuse there. Like, if they were playing crisp football and scoring 20-something a game and playing well, I'd say, you know what? Yeah, that was a midseason curveball that maybe they weren't prepared for in London. They just haven't been playing that well this season.
That's right.
But so I can't say it was London. I don't think they've earned that right for me.
Either way, they lost the game by three. And then they go on.
Tyrell Williams didn't play that game, by the way. The Raiders were banged up that game.
Then they come out of the break. They lose to the Saints, which they should have lost to the Saints. They lose to the Chargers by a point. That's the game you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And they get beat up by Philadelphia a little bit because they only had 164 total yards of offense.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's the problem is, like, you look at this, you're like, man, but they only lost some of these games really closely. But there's no prospect of them. Of an explosion. You know, it's not like, hey, you know, we lost by 3 points, but we had 370 yards of total offense.
Uh-huh.
It's not the conversation.
But did we say that? I hear you. But did we say this last year when, well, they have a 12? How many? They had 12. Well, they go 12 and 4 last year, right? They were 12 and 4. So did we go through their schedule last year and say, And the answer is no. Did we say, well, you know, they only won by a couple of points? No. I don't know that you could provide that kind of context because when they were winning 12 games last year, we didn't point out the fact that they only beat a bad Niners team. I think it was like 14-10 late in this, whatever it was, 14-9, something really late in the season.
Yeah, 14-9.
Yeah, like they didn't play incredibly inspiring football last year either.
No.
So I just think that this is who they are.
Beat the Rams 15-6, beat the 49ers 14-9. Beat the Vikings, though, at the end of the year.
And that was without Garoppolo, obviously, without Bosa, obviously. I mean, so, you know, listen, they're just not that good. They're not that good. I mean, let me ask you a question. If you hit reset and you said, all right, Bears, we're going to go to training camp again. We're going to give you a mulligan. And all the teams that stink, you give the Jets a mulligan, you give the Dolphins a mulligan. Of the teams that are the Giants a mulligan, the Redskins, they'd still stink. Like, maybe the Bears would have the most chance to be more competitive than the teams I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going
to. All righty, Tiki, it's here to hear CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time now for the Team of the Week brought to you by Ferguson.
They're not going to go 6-2.
Is the Boston Celtics after dropping their season opener to Philly? These seeds have rattled.
I think there's 5 straight dubs, including ones over the defending champion Raptors.
Ultimately, be the one anyway.
The Bucks.
Boston's going to make it 6 straight tonight. Is Kemba.
The second overall pick that he moved up to get is going backwards.
Matchup for Kemba Walker. Obviously, he's going to want to put on a show.
What's happening, man? How are you today?
Brought to you by Ferguson. Hey, Trey, Pros Ferguson.
Axe is good.
Proud to be part of what you do with over 1,000 one-stop shop counter locations.
Get the update here from Axe.
Associates and Antonio Brown. Let's see, and I will get into a little later as well.
Inbounds, out of bounds. Jason Lockenfour coming up next hour.
Axe
update is right now.
So that poor guy's getting towed.
Jeez. We're bumping back with these shots around Manhattan as we always do. Usually it's water shots. And some poor schlub is getting his car racked up by NYPD right now. Have you ever gotten towed?
Yes.
It is the most unnerving feeling, because especially if you don't really remember, because when I used to live in Manhattan, I'm like, wait a second.
Where did I park?
Yeah, because alternate side of the street, you're like, well, wait, hold on. I worked late this night, or I played golf this morning. Here is on Tuesday. And you go and you're like, wait, was I on this street or that street? And it's not cheap, man.
It's not.
I mean, it is a bang in the pocket.
It takes forever.
I got towed probably, I used to live in Brooklyn Heights right after college, right? You know, Montague Street, right? And I lived on Amity Street, and I got towed. I honestly think I got towed 7 times.
Yeah, but at least in Brooklyn, you don't have to go to the impound on the west side in Manhattan.
Which
is horrible.
But I still had to go to the impound in Brooklyn, and I had to usually have my dad meet me there because I was broke, because I was doing an internship in radio. Dad, can you help me get my car? And, of course, him being the best dad, he did. Colton, if you do that to me, buddy, I'm going to take those car keys and throw them in the water. I'll get rid of your car real quick. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Jason Lockenfora will join us coming up next hour. Are you ready for some inbounds, out of bounds, Tiki?
Let's do it.
Here you go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
Oh, I think the Broncos improved to 3-6 after a surprising win over the Browns this weekend with Brandon Allen making his first career start at quarterback. Now, throughout the preseason, head coach Vic Fangio said that rookie Drew Lock wasn't quite ready to play and a thumb injury signed sidelined Locke for the first 8 weeks of the season. Now Locke is set to return to practice, and longtime Broncos insider, how do you say that, Mike Kliss, says the team hopes Locke can start the final two games of the season. So a very definitive timeline they've mapped out for their possible future franchise quarterback. In or out, if Brandon Allen plays well, the Broncos should let him finish the year as the starter.
I'm going to say inbounds to this, BT, only because, look, Drew Locke wasn't a first-round pick. He's not, like, your guaranteed future. Obviously, you have a little bit invested in him, but not the world invested in him because of the way the contracts work if you're outside of the first round, specifically if you're outside of the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Brandon Allen, being at Arkansas, he's a pretty decent passer. He threw for 30 touchdowns his senior season. He's experienced. He's a veteran. He's bounced around the league. He's not your answer, but could he be your bridge? Yeah, you got to find out if that's the case with him. So I'm going to say inbounds at this one.
I'm going to say out of bounds here. He was pretty good at Arkansas. Some people weren't even sure if he would get drafted. He did go in the sixth round, and he's managed to hang around a little bit. Hasn't taken many snaps, but he played, you know, reasonably well this past week, and I'm happy for the young man. It shows real perseverance and diligence to just grind away when nobody's watching. Obviously, you probably, you know, in your heart you want to play, but deep down you're probably saying, well, I ever get a chance. And when you do, you need to be ready. And you got to respect that. I say out of bounds, though, because I am a firm believer in strength in numbers. And Brandon Allen already put a little something on tape here. And who knows? Maybe he plays, you know, another really good game or two. But then, you know, if Locke is deemed ready, and that's on the shoulders of the Denver Broncos staff, if they believe he's ready and he's not going to swim, then, you know, I might create a situation where I have a Garoppolo-Brissett thing. Again, that seems a bit ambitious because I don't think that Brandon Allen is certainly not Garoppolo.
No.
Nor do I think he's even Brissett. However, again, it can't be a bad thing to have multiple quarterbacks who are deemed desirable around the league. This is a year about intel. And for the Broncos. And the more intel I can collect, because they're not going to the playoffs right now, the better for my franchise. That's why I say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so the NBA cleared the Clippers. No wrongdoing. Yeah, it's ridiculous. So how do they determine this?
I don't know.
I need to know how they determine this.
They look into his... But you can't really look into the medical records. You know what his medical history is, maybe. And so you'd say, okay, he had a quad. It was XYZ year months ago. You know, multiply that by the Pythagorean theorem, and we get a formula that says you can have non-back to backs for 6 months.
Maybe that's actually the answer, Teak. So, as we know, the Clippers were cleared, right? And the way it's positioned is that he's not healthy enough to play. Again, as Tiki said, I just want to read the question, in back-to-back nights right now. However, that didn't stop Doc Rivers from lashing out. Now, this was for a different reason, though. After the Clippers were called for a questionable offensive foul, Rivers used a coach's challenge, all right, but lost the challenge and wasn't happy about it after the game.
They should have overturned it. That's why I hate the rule. Nobody wants to be wrong. I mean, let me just say that. You have to overturn that. Unless Bledsoe fouled Lou with his face, there was no foul on that play. There was a flop. It should have been more of a chance that Bled got a letter from the league about flopping than Bled got fouled. That was awful. And I don't like the rule anyway. I said it up front, and now I like it even less.
All right, so we know where Doc is sitting on this one. Mm-hmm. Nothing nebulous about that position. This season, just 36% of the challenges have been overturned. It's actually not a horrendous ratio if you think about it. It's almost 40%.
That's right.
So 36% of the challenges have been overturned, but just 23 of the offensive foul challenges have been changed. So maybe that changes your answer here. Inbounds, out of bounds. The coach's challenge has been a failure thus far in the NBA.
I'm going to say out of bounds. I think if anything, it's informative. It gives you a different look at how refs are going to call a game. You know, so sometimes you want to challenge, even if you're not going to get it overturned.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with so many possessions in the NBA these days, and you get teams running to 150 points, a possession is not going to really determine the outcome of the game, but you can garner some information on what a ref is thinking, or at least make a point. It's one thing to argue with the ref. Like, oh, no, that wasn't a charge. You look at it differently. You know, next time you better, I'm going to challenge you. And so now everybody sees that this ref screwed it up, because Eric Bledsoe did flop. Was this before or after he threw the inbound pass to himself, Bledsoe? It was crazy, but whatever. I think it's good. It's informative for coaches, and it gives them a way to talk back to refs. So I'm going to say out of bounds.
I agree, Teak. I think that anything that places additional emphasis on the referees getting the calls right. Now, they're human, so they're not going to get them all right, as we know. And there's so many subjective elements here. They have changed travel. You can see, you watch an NBA game, you watch a league pass. I mean, they are banging at you. They are really banging you out fast for the travels this year, which I have no problem with. But the notion that when an NBA referee walks out of the tunnel and onto the court, mid-court, to flip the ball up and get underway and do their job, they know that there's a different set of rules in which they're evaluated. Now, again, the numbers are what they are. 36% is relatively low, and 23% of the offensive fouls is borderline minuscule. But it's a recourse, and it will prove successful for some. It's still a work in progress. Like the NFL, everybody's learning this. So for the most part, I think it's okay. I'm not saying it's perfect. Far from perfect. But I do not think it's been a full failure yet. I say out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Now, last winter, you probably remember this. We discussed the slow-moving free agency in the majors the past few years, with some agencies even setting up their own spring trainings for unsigned players. Ridiculous. It's like a camp for, over 40-year-olds, like they have these dream camps. I mean, these guys were out there. Nobody wanted them. And they were pretty good players. Last year, Dallas Keuchel, Craig Kimbrell didn't sign until June. And the MLBPA questioned whether teams and GMs were colluding. Now, the Players Association is launching an investigation after Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos said, quote, "We've had time to connect with 27 of the teams to get a sense of what the other clubs are going to look to do in free agency," end quote. Anthopoulos' statement is proof that teams have been working together to slow the free agent market.
I'm going to say inbounds. It's at least if there's a lot of smoke here that they are not colluding per se, but trying to figure out best practices. And they talk to one another about, hey, we got this luxury tax issue. How should we try to get under it? Well, don't sign this guy. Don't sign that guy. So I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT. There's a lot of smoke here. That means there's somewhat of a fire.
I'm going to say out of bounds. First of all, the way it's positioned, to get a sense of what the other teams are trying to do in free agency, end quote, that could be position specific. It doesn't have to be contract specific. It doesn't have to be. And again, not that it couldn't be, but it doesn't have to be. And the way it's framed here, that it's proof. How is that proof? That's just a couple of words. Anybody have text messages? Anybody have any recordings? I mean, the word proof is strong. So if you want to prove collusion, which, as we've said a million times in this genre, is almost impossible in the sporting sense, I'm going to need more than, 26 words thrown together as a quote from Anthopoulos. I know. I say out of bounds.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Sure, his fellow, executives aren't thrilled that he said that.
No.
But still.
Don't have to answer every question, Alex.
It's true. Only the easy ones.
Exactly. Or say less.
Mm-hmm. Got Jason Lock and Ford coming up next. Big game tonight. Listen. Big game tonight. Derwin James is coming back in a few weeks. That Chargers pass rush is starting to pop again. Do we, by virtue of last week, you have to take him off the respirator. Bolts have a shot. Raiders playing pretty well. We'll talk NFL. Lock and Four coming up next. Deep Team Tierney.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.